Our scripture readings this morning, Old Testament and New. Am I doing both?
Sure.
Okay. So the first one comes from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. When he had gone out, and the he had gone out was Judas, so they're at the Last Supper. Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." Little children, and this is one of the first times that Jesus really referred to the disciples in this endearing way. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, when I am going, where I am going, you cannot come. But a new commandment I give to you, that is to love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Second reading comes from Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Then I saw a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, let's bow our heads for the prayer this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We pray, amen. Our scripture that Art read from John's Gospel is the beginning collection of the passages known as the Farewell Discourse, as Jesus is preparing the disciples for a life without his physical presence. Jesus is offering more than comfort. Jesus is trying to reorient them towards their mission. The community at that time was still a vulnerable state in its life together. And if the community didn't learn how to inhabit a love that will thrive despite of its differences, the message of God in the broader community will be affected. And we find Jesus' final words to and Jesus' final prayers for his disciples. Our story begins at that moment of betrayal. When betrayal starts unfolding and dreams and plans become unraveled. You see, Jesus and his disciples are gathered around that table for that last supper. Jesus had just washed the feet of the disciples, and immediately after a humbling act of servanthood is when Judas got up from the table and went out into the darkness to betray Jesus. When Judas got up from the table and went out into the darkness, he left to sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. The scripture starts out with, when he had gone out, when Judas left the table, he left the disciples, he left Jesus. It says it was dark. And this is where our story begins, at that exact dark moment of treachery, of disloyalty, when Judas got up from the table and left them. He was out there somewhere, portraying Jesus. The soldiers would soon arrive to arrest Jesus. The disciples, well, they had so many plans. They had so many dreams for Jesus and for themselves. And Jesus, within a few short hours of that moment, all of those dreams would come crashing down. Jesus would soon be carried off and arrested, and then some of those disciples would flee. But even within all of that betrayal and the change that is swirling all around them on that holy Thursday night, not everything was understood at that moment when Judas got up and left the table. And what does Jesus do? He knows that his hour has come, but he just keeps on teaching. Even with all of that betrayal and change swirling around them on that holy Thursday night, Jesus says to his disciples, I give you all a new commandment, to love one another. Now, if Jesus would have just stopped right there, it would have been completely reasonable for one of his disciples to raise their hand and say, excuse me, there is nothing new about loving one another. That is old. That is an old commandment. You see, the commandment to love goes back much further than Jesus of Nazareth. Before Jesus spoke of this new commandment when they were gathered around on that last night with his disciples, you see, it was part of the Jewish tradition. Many of those disciples knew it, read it, prayed it, and committed to live their lives with loving one another. There are many places in the Hebrew scriptures where it says that God has told his chosen people to love each other, to love their spouse, to love their neighbor. And even at times, God told them to love the stranger and the alien and even the one that you counted as your enemy. To love one another is not much of a new commandment until Jesus speaks two letters. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment to love one another, A.S., as I have loved you. As I have loved you is how you are to love one another. Well, okay, that disciple could put his hand back down and say, well, indeed, that is something different. You see, those crucial two little letters, A-S, to love each other as Jesus has loved you. If Jesus would have just simply said, love one another, we human beings could have taken that commandment. Well, I don't know. Maybe we would have turned it into some kind of selfish and self-serving excuse. I mean, perhaps even for a way to mistreat one another. Because love is a very easy word to misdefine. Or maybe I should say love is a very easy word to misdefine. That is to define wrongly. Because folks, I don't know, But I know my own heart. We can convince ourselves that even our most sinful actions are somehow an act of love. Over 10 years of working in ministry at the Durango Church, I wasn't the pastor. I was the adult discipleship person, but I was also the person that many people would seek out advice or prayers or help them in certain situations in their life. And over those 10 years, many different people have shown me that this is true, that we can convince ourselves that even our most sinful actions somehow are an act of love when it isn't. For example, I had a man who was beating his wife physically. And he was sharing because he wanted to confess his heart. And then he looks at me and says, "You don't understand. I love my wife." And then the addict, who just couldn't stop the drinking and would continue to endanger his family by getting in the car after too many drinks and driving, even with his children in the car. The addicts that actually bankrupt their family because of the addictions that they couldn't control, but they would say, "You don't understand, I was driving really carefully with the kids in the car that day." I actually spoke to a couple adults that had abused children, and they had this frightening ability to look me in the eye and said, "But I love those kids." And then there was the woman who was a wife. She admitted to being married happily to her husband and at the same time having two affairs with two other men all at the same time. And she says, "I don't expect you to understand, but I love them." And she had a smile on her face. "Well, I guess you can if love means nothing. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows this. And so he speaks those two little letters, which should change everything, which should change our world. A.S. Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment. Love each other as I have loved you." And that is how you are to love. With those two little letters, Jesus shows us that our life cannot be defined by our own whims, by our own plans, and by our own desires alone. But rather, it is the task of every follower of Christ, of every Christian, to be so focused on Christ that Jesus sets the agenda, that Jesus shows us the way, that we listen to Jesus' teaching of the truth and direct our life accordingly. Love each other as I have loved you. If we are going to do that, then we must turn to the scriptures to learn what his love looks like. For some of us, I want to invite and encourage you to dust off the Bible. My house is very dusty. I want to encourage you to dust off the Bible, open up the scriptures, and read the greatest love story that has ever been written on the pages of the gospel. You will begin to see anew what the love of Jesus looks like. And then we can begin to learn to love as Jesus Christ. So you might be thinking, "Well, where do I begin? That is a big book, Pastor Cherie." We look in the scriptures to see what the love of Jesus looks like. We can look at Jesus kneeling on the floor on that Last Supper, washing the feet of the people who followed him. And during that humble service, even for the man, Judas, he washed his feet, knowing that his hour had come, knowing that Judas was going to leave soon after this humble act of love. That is where you can learn a new way of loving. We can look at Jesus sitting there on the dirt floor, on the dirt with a woman who was caught in adultery, and she felt so much shame as she was dragged into the court center. But he said to her, "I do not condemn you. We can look at Jesus feeding those who are hungry and healing those who are hurting. That is where you will learn a new way of loving. We can look at Jesus forgiving those who were even driving the nails into his flesh. Maybe that is where we will learn a new way of loving. We can look at Jesus' teaching what is true and doing what is truthful. Perhaps that is where you will learn the new way of loving. We can look at Jesus respecting the dignity of every person and loving even those who didn't love him back. We can look at Jesus on the cross. We can look at Jesus on the cross. There is where we will see self-transcendence and self-giving, and giving more than what we thought was even possible, giving everything for us, because now we have realized, we've come to know that there is a larger story here at work. There's a greater goal at stake. We can look at Jesus, and then we will discover life and love. And it's not about me. It's not about my plan. It's not about all of my desires. It's not about the way I want to do it. You see, the more I keep my gaze directly on Jesus Christ, the more I learn what his love looks like, and the more I begin to realize that he loves me in that new kind of love that is so deep, it is beyond our imagination. Love each other, as I have loved you. Two little letters that can change our lives and change our world if we trust them and if we live them. So will that be easy? N-O. No. It is not easy, is it? But the Spirit of the risen Lord will work through the pages of the gospel. The Spirit of the risen Lord will work through the elements at the Lord's Supper, the means of grace. The Spirit of the risen Lord will work through our baptisms. And the Spirit of the risen Lord will work through our community of believers. That is the church. That is us. That is Mountain Vista United Methodist Church. It is the living Lord that is sending us his Spirit that gives us the strength we need to teach us a new way of loving. Loving as Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has loved and will always, always love. I think what he is saying here to us is follow me. Follow me. So let's G-O. Let's go and follow Christ as we leave this place. A new commandment he gives to each of us, that we love one another just as he has loved us. And by this, all people will know that you are Christ's disciple. Amen. Amen.